the time. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, I told y'all wrong. That was coming to me about, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. That was not Jehoshaphat's singers that he sent out. That was actually whenever Solomon built the temple. Y'all remember that? And he got the temple built and they filled it with all the stuff that David had provided for it. And whenever they got done, the priest and everybody and all the people, they said, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And then the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, so much so that they couldn't even stand to minister. Do you know God's building a house in you? If y'all knew that, you'd go, whoo, hallelujah. Why? Because when he gets through building the house, the glory of the Lord is coming to fill it. And the Bible says we are being built up as living stones, right? That's another message, but it's in here way on down the road. But the title this morning is called The Coming Glory. Oh, this is good. But how many know sometimes we need a little correction until we can get there? You know, if I'm going to Florida, I have to make little adjustments all along the way. And then sometimes I have to make hard adjustments. Hard lefts, hard rights, right? Say this with me. I'm getting under the spout where the glory's coming out. I believe the Lord spoke that to me on the way here this morning. Because how many knows, if the spout is here, don't be over there expecting to get wet. What's that mean? It means we have to line up. Why? He doesn't change. He doesn't change his word, even though if we're not lined up, he hates it, you know, and all this stuff. And he will do everything he can to correct us and get us on the right path. Because the Bible says his plan is good, amen. Always his plans are good. It's not we have plans and he lines up. It's he has plans and we line up. Amen? So let's see here. The Lord spoke this to me Tuesday morning and it was concerning this church and actually the entire world, but he's speaking it to us right now. Let's look at Isaiah 60. I don't know about y'all, but it feels good every time I say that. I'm getting under the spout where the glory's coming out. Woo, hallelujah. Now I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. If you don't have it, Beth put it on the screen for us. And like I said, take this to yourself because God spoke this to us for this church, for this time. How many knows there's a bunch of word in the Bible? But the Bible says a word is good in its season, in its time. And we have to be finding out, God, what word are you saying? Because he's not saying all words and every word all the time, right? There's certain things that he says and he's saying. Excuse me. He says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. So God's glory can be seen. We'll get into that a little bit later, the manifestations of his glory. Y'all remember last week over there in, what was it, Romans 8, where I read the scripture in the Amplified, and it says, for the coming glory that shall be revealed in us, on us, and through us. He's saying, okay, arise and shine, because it's here. He goes on and he says, verse 3, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried and nursed in the arms. Then you shall see and be... Listen, if you've been believing for your kids, you should have shouted right there. He said, then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance and be enlarged, because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you. Unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. Oh, did y'all hear what that said? I don't know about y'all, but that just makes me thrilled on the inside. The Bible says when Jesus comes, he's coming back for what? A glorious church. What's that mean? It means one that's filled with God's glory. that the world can see God in manifestation on His church, on His body. That's a glorious and wonderful thing. All His goodness, all His splendor, all His majesty, all His power, all His authority. The world has never seen anything like that, but it's coming. I believe Jesus is standing at the gate just waiting on the word from the Father. So what that means is every prophecy, every word that He promised would happen and come to pass up to the time of His coming has to be done real quick. Why? Not one of His words shall fall to the ground. Not one of His prophecies shall not come to pass. I don't care if it's been prophesied 1,000 years ago or longer. Before He comes, it's got to happen. So what's that mean? Time speeded up for us. Because everything has got to happen. And what He said right here has got to happen before He comes. Now notice what He said. He said they're going to bring their treasures. Let's look at, let's see here. Well, let me read this. I looked up the definition of glory in the Strong's Concordance. In the Old Testament, it was Hebrew. It said weight in a good sense, splendor, honor. In the New Testament, predominantly, it said glory is very apparent, dignity, honor, praise, and worship. Listen to me. Sometimes you can't get the definition of a word by looking it up. Did that tell y'all very much? Didn't tell me very much either. You know, when it says weight or weighty, it's not talking about heavy or burdensome. How many knows it's like kind of like I did a message one time, and I remember Johnny, he said that was weighty. Yeah, heavy, weighty. It means in a good sense. It's not a bad sense, like it's a burden or anything like that. So, Beth, if you would just put it, well, we need to turn over there. Exodus 24. We're going to let the Bible describe God's glory to us, okay, in the Scriptures. That way we can understand it. Because he said here in Isaiah it was something, it could be seen. Now I'm going to read this in the Amplified, Exodus 24. I'm going to read, because for time's sake, I'd like to read this whole chapter, but I don't have time. Y'all can. Verse 10 and 11. It says, and they saw the God of Israel, that is a convincing manifestation of His presence. Now notice what it says. God's glory is a manifestation of His presence. Now let's go on here and get a little bit more definition here. Take my glasses off and on. It's hard to breathe with them. It says, and under His feet it was like pavement of bright sapphire stone, like the very heavens in clearness. And upon the nobles of the Israelites He laid not His hand to conceal Himself from them, to rebuke their daring to or to harm them. But they saw the manifestation of the presence of God and ate and drink. Now skip on down to verse 16 just for time's sake. It says, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. Notice it said glory. And the cloud covered it for 6 days. So we see here the manifestation of God's presence was shown forth in what? Excuse me. A cloud. That it was God's presence that hung over that in the form of a cloud. Let me finish reading here. We're taking these glasses on and off. Verse 17. Well, let me read 16 again. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, God called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites. How? Like devouring fire on the top of the mountain. Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. Y'all remember whenever God first appeared to Moses, how He appeared to him in a burning bush? But the Bible says the bush was not burned up. Why? It was God's manifested presence in that bush. And God told Moses, He said, take off your shoes. He said, for where you're at, it's holy ground. Wherever God's presence comes, He's holy. Therefore, we must be holy. It's a separation unto Him. You understand what I'm saying? So we see Him here in manifestation, His presence that you can see in a cloud, but also in a devouring fire, the Bible says. Now, we don't have time to go on with that. I just wanted y'all to see that real quick because we got something. Well, just put it up on the screen, Beth. Well, I didn't write that one down, did I? Anyway, we won't have time to go with that because I got to go somewhere else. So God's manifested presence is his glory. Let's look at John 14. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Just hang on. And I'm going to have to skip around on this also because of for time's sake, because I got somewhere I'm trying to get to. John 14, starting in verse 12. Now, Jesus was talking to him in the beginning of this chapter about he's fixing to send to the Father, but he's going to send back the Holy Ghost. Now, here in verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Y'all should have shouted right there. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Let's see, and let's skip down to, I read 12 through 16. He says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Love's not a feeling, is it? So he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then he talks about the Spirit of truth. Skip on down to verse, let's see, 21. "He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So that's twice he said that, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." Notice that he says, "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will" what? "Manifest myself to him." The Amplified Bible says it this way, verse 21. "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." This is not just because you got born again, is it? He says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Does that mean everybody's going to eat the good of the land just because you accept Jesus as your sacrifice? No. The condition is to be willing and obedient, right? I got a frog in my throat or something right before I come up here. So it's the willing and obedient. Well, he says here, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, what is his commandments? Well, he said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." He said, "Love your neighbors, you love yourself." And then Jesus gave the New Testament commandment. He said, to love each other just as he has loved us, right? So we can't say we can't do it because the love of God, according to Romans 5:5, has already been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the thing about it is, if we do mess up, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, right? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So therefore, if we mess up, what do? We repent quickly. Quickly repent. Don't let that thing linger on. And repent don't just mean you feel sorry for what you've done. Repent means you change your heart and your mind and your will to line up with the will of God. That's all you got to do. Just do that. And then what did he say? He said, "I'm going to come to you." He said, "I'm going to manifest myself." Well, he just got through reading over there in Isaiah 60 that he was speaking to this church, to this body. He said, "People's going to see it on you. People's going to see my glory on you." He said, the scriptures up above that, he said, "The works that I do," he said, "you're going to do." He said, "in greater works than what I've done." Why? Because God in his glory, in his fullness, is going to be in us, on us, and working through us before he comes. Amen. So how many wants him to manifest himself to you? In you, on you, through you. Then all you got to do, just love him and obey whatever he tells you to do. And he said, "I'll manifest myself. I'll show you myself. You'll be clearly seen of me." So go back to Isaiah 60, verse 5. And Beth will put it up on the screen just so, since we're going to just go to that back to that one. Is that it? I can't see this far away. Yeah. He says, "Then you shall see and be radiant." You're going to be radiant. "And your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance and be enlarged." Notice what he says. "Because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you, unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. Now let's look at, Beth put it on the screen since we're just going to read the one there. Proverbs 13:22. He says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is what? Laid up for the just. I would think y'all would be more excited about that. Y'all ain't asleep, are you? Glory to God. So the wealth of the sinners, he says here, has been laid up for the just. He said over there in Isaiah 60, he said, they're going to come to you, he said, and they're going to bring your treasures, bring their treasures. Well, how many knows the Bible talks about a great wealth transfer before he comes? It's got to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it's got to happen. Why? Because everything he prophesied and he said would happen has to happen before he comes to get us. So what's that mean? It's on its way. How many knows it's not coming to everybody just because you're saved? But see, everybody, or most people that I know, when they quote that scripture, yes, hallelujah, glory to God. But how many knows God's not into DEI? Here we go. He's not into DEI. That's why Trump's doing away with all of that. God's into faithfulness. God's into justice. God's into righteousness. He's not into equality. Y'all remember back when I believe it was when Obama was in office and they had this thing they was trying to do. That no matter what you actually made on your test score, you gave everybody an A. Y'all remember that? Yeah. They tried to pass that when Obama was in there. How many knows that's not right? That's not just. That's equality. So what that means is I didn't put in the work and the study, go to school half the time, show up for class, but I'm going to get an A just like somebody else that studies really hard, stays up late, don't go to the ball games or to the dances or none of that other stuff. They stay at home studying. I work hard. I put in the thing that I need to do to get the A, and you're going to give somebody an A that they did nothing? God's not into that either. Y'all remember the parable of the talents, don't you? One story of them. We'll read another one later about the good steward or the steward. Well, the parable of the talents, just to paraphrase them or whatever. He gave some to the first one, you know, and some to the second one, and then to the third one he gave only one. Well, the first one he went and he did what? He occupied. He did business with it, right? He put it in there and what did he do? He increased it. He made more. Well, the second one, whenever, because how many knows the steward, the holder of the talents came one day, and he said, okay, give me an account. How many knows Jesus is coming, and he's going to say, give me an account. Why? He's given every one of us something. He's given us things spiritually. He's given us things naturally, right? He's given us finances. He's given us anointings. He's given us talents, graces, abilities. There's some things that only you can do. And what's he expect? When he comes, I better find some multiplication. I better find you occupying. Ain't that what Jesus said? Occupy till I come. That word occupy means do business. And when he comes, he's going to check and see, what did you busy yourself with here on the earth? That's the question he's going to ask. Well, he's going to say, what did you busy yourself with? Well, the story of the talents, the second one. What'd he do? He multiplied them. He made more. Well, when he come to the third one to get an account, he said, oh, I know that you was a hard taskmaster. Are you serious? God's not hard. He said, I knew that you was a hard taskmaster. He said, I knew you reaped where you didn't sow. Are you kidding me? God sowed Jesus. So don't tell me he's not a sower. He sows his word, right? So it's a lie. But anyway, he said, I knew that you reaped where you didn't sow. He said, so here, he said, I took a talent that you gave me. He said, and I buried it. I hid it so that when you come, I could give you back the very thing that you gave to me. What did he tell him? Wicked. What's that mean? The word wicked, we get our word wicker furniture from. It means twisted. He said, you wicked, slothful, lazy servant. Then he goes on and he says, okay. He said, take from the one that I gave one and the one that got 10, that made 10 or 8 or whatever it was that he made. Y'all remember the story. He said, give it to him. And remember, the people standing there said, but Lord, he's already got 10. Did God care that he got 10? No, God was glad that he got 10. So what's God do? He rewards progressiveness. Because he made the 10. That's why he didn't give it to the one with the second. He could have made even more than that. But he gave it to the one that did the most with it. So that leads me up to what we're going to be getting into here. How many knows God says those that he loves, he does what? Chastens. That word chasten, you could say it corrects, disciplines. Why? Because he loves us. Like I started out with, I believe God is saying with all of my heart, come and get under the spout where the glory's coming out. Why? He's going to pour out his glory. Bible says in Joel 3 and in Acts, he says he's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. But how many knows it determines whether or not where we're at and what we're doing, whether we can receive it or not? Right? So if we need to make corrections this morning, we're going to be quick to do it. Amen? So he says here, the wealth transfer's coming. He said in Isaiah 60, it's coming. They're going to come with their treasures. Proverbs 13:22, he's talking about the wealth transfer. How many knows the tithe has always belonged to the Lord? In the Garden of Eden, God said, I give you this tree. I give you every tree of the garden. I don't know how many there was, but I know there was at least two that was named. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then also the tree of life. And he told him, he said, eat of any tree of the garden. Take your 90% that I blessed. Woo! He said, but don't touch this one. He said, when you touch this one, you're going to die. Right? Well, then here come the devil. Listen to me. All the devil has over a born-again believer is the power of suggestion. When he came to Eve, what did he do to her? All he done was suggested that she wouldn't die, Sandy. But he couldn't do nothing to her. They're clothed with the glory of God. They walk and they talk with God himself in the cool of the day. And they have his word. They both know what he said. Right? Don't touch it. So what'd the devil do? He comes along and he's, did God really say tithe? Ooh, we're getting quiet. Did he say it? You'll have people today, they're like, tithing's under the law. Well, I beg to differ. Go back and study the Bible. Abraham tithed before there ever was a law about tithing. Whenever they gave offerings, Cain and Abel, y'all remember why Cain killed him, didn't you? The Bible says God, and they brought an offering to the Lord. Cain gave of what he could produce. Abel gave of what the Lord had given him. His first, he gave him Fluffy, bless his heart. My favorite little sheep. God, y'all get so quiet. Ain't that what he brought him? He was the tender of the sheep. He brought him the best, didn't he? No spot, no blemish, no lice, no knotted up hair. He brought him Fluffy, the one that he petted every day, that he nourished, that he fed the best of everything that he had. That's the one he brought. And what's it say? God accepted it. It was pleasing to the Lord. Let me read this here. It says, I thought I had that wrote down of the verse. But anyway, y'all know that he said it. No, it's Malachi 3:6. It says, I am the Lord thy God, he said, and I don't change. See, just because we're in 2025 don't mean God changed. His word doesn't change. People change his word, but his word doesn't change. He doesn't change. He still does everything that he said he would do and that he's done from the beginning of time. But how many of us, it's us that has to get in line. And I have said this and I was wrong. That it didn't matter that God didn't want your money. No, he doesn't want your money. He wants his money. See, the tithe doesn't belong to me. According to Scripture, right? The tithe belongs to who? To the Lord. Whenever Jesus came and they was asking him about, that's over in, put that up please, Beth, Matthew 22, verse 21. Now, just to lead up to this, this is where they come and they wanted to trap Jesus. Because they wanted to see, you know, whether he paid taxes or not. Shouldn't be cheating on our taxes either. Good Lord. I really don't care, people. I just don't care. I mean, God cares and he knows. God cares and he knows. That stuff affects you. It affects your faith. Anyway, they asked him, you know, well, is it right whether we pay taxes or not, you know, and all that. And this is what Jesus told him. He said, bring me a coin. Right? Y'all remember that? Verse 21 here, he says, and they say unto him, Caesar. Who does, he say, asked them, whose face is on this? Whose inscription? And they say, Caesar's. Then Jesus, or he saith unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and what? Unto God the things that are God's. What's God says his? From the beginning, he said the tithe belonged to him, didn't he? He said, you give me the 10% that is mine. He said, and you keep the 90. He said, and I'll put the blessing on it. See, it's always belonged to him. See, now this is what leads me up to this, because see, the great wealth transfer's coming. The glory's coming. The wealth transfer's coming. They're going to bring their but it won't be to everybody. Now see, I quoted you that parable because of about the stewards or whatever and the talents, because this is how God is. Do you really think, Johnny, if you bring me $20, it's your $20, ain't it? You ask me to hold it. And you say, I'll be back for it. And you come next week, next month, 2 years from now, whatever. And you say, hey, I need that $20 you gave me. And I say, well, you know, my light bill was due. And you got so much, Johnny, I didn't think you really needed it. You know, you own a cattle on a thousand hill. I mean, what could you possibly need with it? You going to give me 20 more? You're dumb if you do. You are a sucker if you do. God's not a sucker. He's righteous. He's just. And see, it's not for our bad. It is for our good. So see, we got to be under the spout where the glory's going to be coming out in order to receive that. We can't be robbing from God the thing that God says belongs to him. I mean, how selfish is that? How selfish would that be of me that God gives me 90% of whatever he brings into me and all he asks me for is the little 10? You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of David and Nathan the prophet whenever he took Bathsheba. Y'all remember that? And Nathan the prophet came to him and he told him, you know, what the Lord had said and everything. And he told him, he said, there was this man, you know, he had said he had a bunch of sheep. He said, and then he went over there and he took this one, man's one little ewe lamb. All he had was one. And he took it. Oh, David got so enraged. This man ought to be killed. And Nathan says, David, you're the man. See how selfish that is? How many of us, we can't be selfish. We love God and we love people. And see, the thing about it is, he said, if you'll give me what belongs to me, I'll bless what I let you have. And how many know something with the blessing? The Bible says little as much when God's in it. He can cause you to get the best deals, can't he, Johnny? I remember the tools you spoke about that one time that you you know, you give testimony about. I don't know what them costed. A bunch, didn't it? Didn't cost you that much, did it? Well, how come you was there at the right place at the right time and they got the right stuff? God's good. I mean, he'll do that for all of us. See, the devil, he doesn't want you just to sin to be sinning. We talked about a little bit last week about the condemnation. You cannot walk in great faith toward God and do these miracles that he's talking about in condemnation. And see, whenever they sinned, they lost the glory, they lost the power, they lost the dominion. Right? When they turned it over and they yielded to the devil. And all it was the power of suggestion. Did God really say? Did God really mean give him the tithe? Is that what he really meant, you know? Surely he knows you have needs. What did he say over there? He said, I will supply your every need according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So it's not for our bad, it's for our good. And the thing about it is, there's things that you need for the time that's coming. There's things you need to give. There may be houses, lands, cars, buildings that people need you to give, that God wants you to give. There was somebody that God dealt with my heart that he told me to pay off something for him. Well, got to checking into it. I can't pay it off for him. Why? They made a wrong decision. Therefore, I can't do it. And you might think, well, God knew it was already like that, so there's no way he told you. No, do you understand that God has a plan, and he's going down this plan, and he's got this one over here he's going to tell do this, and that one over here. But you got to be in the plan, too, for the blessing. And when you turn to the world and you make that unwise decision, listen, if you have been at this church 5, 10, 15 years and you are not better off financially than what you was and you are still turning to the world and borrowing, good Lord, and going to Aaron's, there's a problem and it ain't God. Donnie, am I saying anything different than you've heard since the day you come here? People would say it's because you live debt-free. Listen, it's because I did this word, and he's faithful to his promises. All I done, all me and Scotty done, was do our best, and we wasn't always perfect at it. Just goes to show you, even if you're dumb as dirt, if you'll be willing, he'll get you there, because he promised to. We're not saying anything different than we have always said, and we lived it. So it's proof that his word works if you will do what he says. Because see, there may be some people, he wants you to go around the world and preach the gospel. I can't because I got to work, because I got bills. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it was the whole thing was God was going to use you to go around the world. And I hear people say, listen, I want a dog. Don't bring me no dog. I want a dog. I think I'm supposed to have a dog, Johnny. I want a dog. I like a dog. Well, lo and behold, Robert's been trying to get me to buy a dog for years. No, because I had two that I inherited that I didn't want. But anyway, they're gone now. So I want a dog. Well, lo and behold, Robert's dog has had puppies now. Sandy texted me, called me or whatever a week or two ago and asked me about the dog. I looked inside. I asked the Lord. I inquired of the Lord. It's a dog, people. Y'all remember the Mavericks? I ain't got time to go into that. Insignificant sunglasses that by God, faith, God provided. It was supposed to be a lesson to us. Anyway, I want a dog. I inquire of the Lord. I ask the Lord about the dog. Nothing. I look on the inside. I just know I'm going to find the dog on the inside. I'm going to find a yes witness. Nothing. Talk to Scotty about it. Surely he's going to say, yeah, we want a dog, baby, get it. He says, I don't want one, but you can have one if you want it. I'm like, oh. You know what I told Sandy? No, I don't guess so. Why am I bringing that up? Well, God has his people. Oh, yeah, they call themselves praying about it. I asked the Lord about it. Well, what did he say? Nothing, but I really don't think he cares. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He cares and has planned out every single step of our lives. And God has a permissive will. There's things He will allow you to go on your merry little way if you want to. You're responsible for those. Where he leads and guides, he will always provide. But a lot of God's people have got themselves in a mess when he pay just as much attention to what God doesn't say as what he does say. See, he didn't say nothing to me about no dog. He talked to me about a dog and a cat, and he sent me a cat. I'm serious. And I'm like, God, this stuff. But can you see the insignificance compared to great and mighty things? Where we live, where we go to church, about the tithe, what we drive. All these things are way more important than a cat and a dog, and God wants to say something or not about the cat and the dog. I don't know about you. I am sick and tired of Ishmaels. Sick and tired of Ishmaels. Nearly 30 years of my life I lived with Ishmaels. Things that me and Scotty had done on our own. Ooh, we're having fun today, ain't we? See, we will if we heed and change. That's why God says it. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. And I really don't care as far as I'm concerned. I told the Lord this morning when he started giving me this. I said, God, no. We was on a roll, Lord. Don't do that. I don't want to say that. Let's go back to what we was on last Sunday. Everybody's, woo, that was a good message. Hallelujah. I ain't heard nothing this morning. I'm like, God, please. He's like, don't you understand? I love you. I love you so much that I'll tell you the hard things that you need to hear. Because I got blessing. I've got glory. I've got power. I've got all these things stored up for you. But I can't change. I won't change. You got to change and get over here and do the things that I'm telling you to do, and you'll be under the spout where the glory's coming out. You won't even have to pray for it. I've already ordained it. Oh, my goodness. Let me get my glasses on wearing and see what else we got here. So he never changes, right? Oh, and there's this other thing. Faith, 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 faith. According to all the Christians that I know of, we all got it, and we did get it the day we got born again, right? It's a measure of his faith. But we're supposed to have it. We're supposed to be building on it. But according to Luke 18, it's rare. Right? Y'all remember Luke 18, right? It's rare. Jesus said, when he comes... And he's fixing to come. Will he really find faith on the earth? Aaron's is not faith. I don't know why that... Let me tell you something. If you got something from Aaron's, take it back and tell him you're sorry you disobeyed the Lord and you got to change. Or get in faith and pay the thing off. Do one of the two. Get out from under that. Do you understand that Satan is the god of this world and debt is... It's out there to keep you bound from obeying God and let you turn to another source other than Him. And I'm not saying nothing about debt. I have been in debt. I have made wrong choices. Now listen, when you get born again, God starts you on a journey. One of the first things, Johnny, that God spoke to us was we used to get a credit every week. Chips, dip, cigarettes, whatever, gas. On the credit over at this little store. About every Friday or Monday, and it's got to get paid on Friday. So what you're doing about that, borrowing against tomorrow for today. And the Bible says you don't even have a clue what tomorrow's going to bring. So it's presumption, which is sin. But anyway, God dealt with us. He said, stop getting this stuff on credit every week. That was hard. We wanted the chips and dip, doggone it. We had a hard week. And them cigarettes made me calm. And we needed gas to go to church. God, y'all getting real quiet. Y'all heard most of these stories, but anyway, ain't nothing changed. Well, lo and behold, it was hard. But the Lord helped us. We trusted Him. We done it. And we made it. Next step, He took us. See, they're step by step by step. The Bible says we go from faith to what? One level to another level. Payment faith to pay it off early to God supplied. If you're not doing that, you got a problem. And it ain't God and it ain't His Word. He's faithful. Well, next thing He dealt with us about, Granny and Papa, we never had any extra. We never had enough. You know, sometimes it was of our own doing and sometimes just
the way we had lived, you know. Anyway, the next thing that he dealt with us about was stop going to Granny and Papa. Start or go out, go hit Papa and Granny up. They always let us have the money as long as you pay them back. Now, if you don't pay them back, you can't get no more. And anyway, so we pay them back, and the car tear up. Oh, well, waiting on our income taxes to get new tires. Where's your faith at? Can't you get new tires before you get income taxes? But anyway, let's go back to that. God dealt with us. We love Granny and Papa. They didn't mind letting us have the money. But how many of us? God's got to get you off of anything but him. And he's going to, if you'll let him. And he'll start places that you most of the time wouldn't even think about. He says, stop borrowing money from them. Oh, that was hard, Johnny. Hard. Why? Things happen. Life happens, right? Tires wear out. Different things. Kids need new shoes, whatever. Light bills due. We stopped doing that. It was hard, but the Lord helped us in his faith. He gave us grace. And we did it. We stopped borrowing from them. We stopped looking to them to help us. Why? Our confidence and trust has to all be put on the Lord. And he's unlimited. Unlimited. Well, you got Scotty running around here, and he's just running around all over. I'm rich. Glory to God, I'm rich. We're so broke, we can't even pay attention. This is part of some of y'all's problem. Mark 4, y'all remember that? We was on that 8 or 9 weeks. The sower sows the word into his heart, and then he does what? He keeps it through all these different grounds, right? And then he comes out and he brings forth the harvest. If he kept that word in there, if he kept that word in there about he's rich, about he's the head and not the tail. See, Scotty kept that word in there regardless when they're coming and repossessing stuff. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He kept that word in there, you know. And he'd say, I'm rich, Teresa, I'm telling. Why? He's got the word right here and he put it in his heart and now it's alive. There's faith. See, you can't have faith without some action. If you do, James says it's dead. You know that J.B. Weld stuff, there's two different things. You put them together and bam, you better hurry. You're believing along with your works, according to James, bam, you better get ready for it. But when you don't have it, don't be keeping running around here singing the songs about faith and telling everybody you got faith and all. Because see, if you don't have the works, and the first one that's going to happen, it's going to start coming out your mouth day and night. You can't help it. The Bible says in Matthew, the heart will speak out of the mouth the abundance of whatever's in there. If it's faith, if you're really believing it, it comes out of you day and night. I can't tell you how many times Scotty has heard me say, in laughter. Because when you're believing, there's joy. Because you see it. Thank you, Lord. Do you hear me, Scotty? I'm telling you right now, my brother's home, glory to God, sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house, home early. He got 17 months knocked off, and I don't believe God's through. Just out of the blue. But God's going to start you somewhere. And some of you keep trying to figure it out. You keep looking to the world. You keep looking to circumstance instead of using your faith. Y'all all heard this. I'm going to have to stop in about 2 minutes. I don't have time to finish this up. Anyway, all of y'all have heard the story about the Safeway deal. Y'all remember that? We're about to lose every single thing we have got. We don't have anything paid for, so that means everything's going to go. We've given Nita the land over there, his sister that's sitting here, the trailer, everything is seed for ours to be paid off, and we are about to lose it all. We ain't even going to have a car to sleep in, Johnny. We're going to be out there on the street. I'm talking about pavement with the clothes that we got on. And all the whole thing was we wouldn't by faith turn and do what we need to do was the right thing. See, we couldn't see it. Lo and behold, he goes to Faith Restoration. And this went on for months. I mean, they're fixing to put us in accelerated foreclosure, all this stuff. We had eat our last meal. Now, there was a half a jar of peanut butter in there and a can of mushrooms. And nobody knew about it. Not anybody in this church, not my own mama. Because, see, you got to come to the place. If your trust and confidence in the God that you say you serve can't get it for you, it can't be God. We all have to come to that place. Because if you don't get there, there's always going to be the devil's going to give you another suggestion. And it's going to bring you to bondage. But lo and behold, he goes to a men's meeting at Faith Restoration. He just goes up there, don't tell Brother Brad anything, just says, hey, won't you pray for me? Brother Brad starts praying for him. He said, I see you, Brother Scotty, and you're in quicksand. And he said, this quicksand is God. He still don't get it. He comes home and he tells me what Brother Brad said. I said, I'm telling you, agree with that lawyer. This is God. You got to agree with that lawyer. He says, I can't, Teresa, because I can't lie. See, we want to do the right thing, Johnny. But see, do you understand what faith really is? It's not faith if you can see it. It's not faith if you have it. Faith is only there when you don't have it, when you don't see it, when everything looks and feels and sounds contrary to it. We don't have it, Johnny. Don't see where we can get it. Ain't no prospect of it coming in, nothing. But by faith, he agrees. I mean, because this done went to the lawyer. He agrees and he tells the lawyer, okay, I'm going to pay you $500 a month. And we're like, God, how in the world? But all we had to do was make the choice, Johnny. Lo and behold, we come to church. Nobody knows it but God. We come to church. Sandy's been here the longest or whatever. And she just walks up to Scotty and says, I think you're supposed to start getting $500 a month from the church. Bam! That $500. See, God's got 101 ways to fix your situation, but you got to trust Him. And you got to obey Him. And you can't say you're believing God when you're taking what He says belongs to Him, that if you'll give it to Him, He'll bless the rest and He'll make a way. Just take the step of faith. Believe Him. That's what faith is. It don't see it, has no prospect of doing it in the natural, and stop trying to figure stuff out and just do what He said. And I promise you, He will always. He has never failed anybody. Not a one of His words has ever not come to pass. When we line up, well, He's in covenant with us. Now, we have a part to play, and so do I. Got to stop because don't tell Scotty, but I'm actually a couple minutes over here. But anyway, trust the Lord. Obey Him. Believe Him. I promise you He'll do what He said. Does anybody have anything quickly that they would like to comment or share before we close? All right, well, recess till